All right. We were talking about prostitution in the community during the 50s. And, to start out with, this is September 23rd. This is Madeline interviewing Buff. And one dog and another dog on the way from the other room. you said that you went with a prostitute for a short time and that it didn't bother you that that's what she did for a living. You want to talk again about...
Well, as I had mentioned before, I think it was probably during that time I was more liberal than most people were, and I did just never give it a second thought. One of the things was that she was very, very clean. And, I just really didn't give any thought. I liked the person. Mm-hmm. And I didn't look at her in judgment as what she did for a living. Or...
What did she do with her money? Did she support herself? Did she support both of you?
No, she supported herself, because I didn't live with her.
Oh, I see. Did you work at that time?
Yes, I was working in nursing.
Oh, I see.
Private duty nursing. Uh-huh.
You also had said that you thought the prostitutes really didn't like men.
That's right. I think that they more or less used them, and they used them for their own financial gain.
Mm-hmm.
I have encountered two prostitutes that were lesbians, and I never really got any big discussion. I remember one did tell me, the first one I met in Seattle, Washington, in the early 50s, that the reason that she got into prostitution was because she owed the government a lot of money, and it was the fastest, easiest way to make the money. But she was a lesbian.
Uh-huh. Did you know other women in the community in Buffalo who went with prostitutes?
Other than the one that I know, I know other women that went with her.
Uh-huh.
The only other thing that I really know is what you had mentioned before about women being attracted to strippers. There was a bar on, which by the way is now Bulldog Lil's, and it's a Betsy. They used to have strippers there.
And before it was called the Betsy, it was another, was that the Stage Door?
Stage Door, right. They used to have strippers.
Mm-hmm.
Which this was after the Palace closed.
Uh-huh.
But some of the lesbian women I know used to go there because they were attracted to some of the strippers who were lesbians, and they'd end up going out with them.
The strippers were lesbians. Were they also prostitutes?
That I don't know, because I never got involved with any.
Uh-huh. Did you ever know any women who were pimps?
I'm trying to think about that. No, not really. I'm sure they were there, but I can't recall
uh-huh.
this time.
Yeah. We actually know very few. We've heard about very few in Buffalo. We've heard about women who pimped in other cities. But for Buffalo, we have very, very few women who actually did that. One extra dog. And the women that we have spoken to that have gone with prostitutes said that they did not pimp and that they really didn't take money very often from the women they went with.
In fact, as you're talking, I'm thinking back of one individual who would never own up to the fact, for lack of any other term, she prostituted herself. She used to pick up guys, and that was during Pat's days, before it became the Carousel. And then after...
Oh, Pat's Bar.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Which then became the Carousel. I know for a fact that...
No, Pat's became the Mardi Gras, didn't it?
Mardi Gras, pardon me.
Yeah.
Mardi Gras, I'm sorry. I'm going back a lot of years.
Yeah, I know.
Became the Mardi Gras.
Mm-hmm.
In fact, I can use her name because I know you don't use name. Her name was R. I used to refer to her as Rotten R.
Rotten R.
Yeah.
I think I knew her years ago. I think she's still around. I think she's still alive.
Yeah, she's
somewhere.
Still, she lives in the projects.
Over on the west side.
Right.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And And she...
That's how she survived, was on money that she made from men, sexually, and rolling. But I think that she gave more sexual favors than she would ever admit to.
I see. Well, I remember her, this is many years ago that I met her, and never knew her well, but I remember her being a butch. Was that correct?
Right.
Is that unusual that butches would prostitute?
I don't know, because one of the things that I encountered in the past when I was talking about earlier about the untouchable butch, that it usually always ended up that the butches were the ones that ended up pregnant. So I think that more of butches in those days slept with men than I owned up to. I think I told the story about in Venice, California. You see this real dyke walking down on the beach with the t-shirt.
Right, you did. Be pregnant.
Yeah. No, with a couple kids following behind.
Oh,
she's
yeah.
with this gorgeous blonde, and the kids call mommy, and who turns around but super dyke.
Yeah. That's interesting.
Yeah, I bet.
I wonder why. Why? Why would you theorize that would happen?
Well, I can only speculate.
Fine, go ahead.
Speculate in the fact of that for some reason, that was back to what I was talking about, what they call the untouchable butch, they would not allow another woman to make love to them. They always claimed they got their satisfaction by making love to a woman. That maybe it goes back to the old pressure of gay isn't right, that they would occasionally sleep with a man to find out, you know, where they're at.
Uh-huh.
And some very accidentally got pregnant. We know of a good friend of ours who got pregnant, and when she turned out pregnant, I was very surprised. Mary uh-huh. Thomas.
Uh-huh.
To this day, that floors me. But I mean, like I say, speculate. That they're searching. I guess that's the only thing I can use for a term.
Uh-huh. But that's, I mean, I know Mary, and that's not a case of... certainly not a case of prostitution. That was a case of that kind of accidental
searching
situation. But what's interesting to me is we have had other people speak to us about butches who slept with men for money. And some of the women that we talked to said that they were really dead set against that, and they wouldn't associate with those women, those few butches who did that. They were really looked down on. Do you remember that?
I can't recall that happening, because when a lesbian slept with men for money, they weren't open about it. The ones that I knew, they were very secretive about it.
Maybe they just told a few people who turned on them.
Like would never admit to it.
Uh-huh, still. Well, how do you know?
Because I know that's how she survived financially.
Uh-huh.
Because she didn't work, she didn't have any income.
Uh-huh.
And when she lived in Roanoke for years.
Yeah.
And I would go up there once in a while, there'd be a guy there. And he was not one of us, it was very obvious.
The Roanoke was on Elwood and Chippewa?
Right.
That's Roanoke?
Right.
I know where it is, but the tape doesn't. So,
right.
And I think Liz might not remember the Roanoke at all.
In fact, they're in the process of renovating it now.
Yeah. It's probably going to be luxury apartments after all these years.
I spent a week there once.
A week to remember or forget or whatever.
One of his staffs decided to see what it was like to just make love and sleep and eat.
Uh-huh.
For a whole week.
How was that?
It was great.
Was it? Yeah. We
send
out
for snacks.
Yeah, we don't get much chance to do that in our lives.
God. But, I was aware. And I'm sure other people were aware, because she was always, around men.
Oh, I
see. Very secret. She was one of the people that taught us how to roll people.
Ah. What were you supposed to do?
The thing was, you get a guy drunk and you get their money, and... if she got the money, she'd give you half, and if you got the money, you gave her half, but you were always giving her half, and you were never getting any money in return.
Oh, I see. She would help you get him drunk, and then you would do the rolling.
Yeah, but she'd say that, you know, she was going to do the same thing, but she never did.
And she never actually did the rolling while you were around. You knew that she did it sometimes, but not when you were around.
Right.
Yeah.
In fact, she almost killed me one time. This is back to, and I mean literally, she was after my ass. 132 Club in Leonard's.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
And there was some guy that I knew that she had went out with. And she wasn't there, and he was really spending money. It was in my game, and I don't know if I told you this story before. I might be repetitive. My game at the time was that I would get the guy drunk, tell him that I would go to bed with him,
yeah,
go to his apartment, and tell him, well, I gotta go take a bath, and I'd wait until he passed out and take his money. Well, this guy, I got almost $800 from him. And R came looking for me, because it was one of her jobs.
She wanted her half. Or maybe her whole.
She wanted all her money, but I got it. I said, what the fuck are you talking about? I don't even know what you're talking about. Get out of my face.
Amazing. There were butches that we knew that went with a few femme women, and I remember those women pretty well, that were prostitutes. And some of them said that they were comfortable for a while with that, and then eventually they really just couldn't tolerate it, that it got to them.
Well, I never really got that deeply involved with this Mary. It was your own passing type thing.
Mm-hmm.
She was good in bed.
Yeah. What? I wonder if you could speculate on how you think you might have felt if you had really been, you know, fallen deeply in love with the woman who was prostituting. Would, first of all, would that have been possible?
Yeah, because I thought I was in love with her at the time.
Uh-huh.
But how long it would have lasted, you know, whether I'd have been able to deal with her lifestyle. Because then, I guess, basically down deep, you would feel like you would have to compete with the men that they were going out with. But I get, you know, the two prostitutes that I did know, they really had great personalities. They were very outgoing and very, very nice people.
Mm-hmm.
I always said I never met a prostitute I didn't like.
Yeah. Well, it certainly is part of their job to be charming.
Right. Oh, wait, I forgot there was another prostitute I went out with. This wasn't in the 50s, this was early 60s.
Uh-huh.
She would call me up and tell me to come over because she'd be depressed. And she went out with these different guys. But that didn't last a long time, because after she was, what you call, her prostitution was done from the house with she'd get a telephone call.
Uh-huh.
And she'd take off in a cab and come back. And she was always very depressed and very down afterwards. And I couldn't deal with that too much. She was a very nice looking woman. And could be very nice. But she had, you know, obviously some problems. She had a couple kids. God, I went with more prostitutes than I thought. That's three that I know.
Uh-huh. Interesting.
One of the things that I've always had a problem with is when lesbians all of a sudden decide they're going to go straight. I've had that, encountered that situation. And again, I'm speculating, does that go back to the pressure of the community, the guilt trip, you know, feeling guilty because mm-hmm. of their lifestyle?
Mm-hmm.
And I personally never have gone through any real guilt.
Well, these days, I've known a number of women who have gone straight over the last 10 years. There are women who came out like in the 70s, some of them, and sort of came out at the time of the women's movement. And some of them I would have assumed would have been lesbians forever, and they went straight. And it seemed to be, there seems to be a feeling among their friends that this is, among some of their friends, that this is really very depressing and a real awful thing to have happen. And you try to understand, if you're real close to someone, why they do it. Would that have happened years ago in the 50s? Would people, if they heard that a lesbian went straight, what would they have to say about it, like in the 50s?
I really don't think I can answer that. See, as you're talking, what's spinning around in my head is that, off the top of my head, I would think more that they're bisexual. Of course, that's a judgment statement.
Right.
Because how could a woman be comfortable with a woman and then be comfortable with a man unless they're bisexual?
So you're thinking that the women that I'm speaking of that came out in the 70s might have been bisexual?
Possibly.
Uh-huh.
You see, it wasn't probably until late 60s, 70s, and I may have my dates wrong, when people would talk about being bisexual.
Oh, I see.
You think about in the 50s, I don't think you even heard that terminology.
I don't remember it. You're right.
People wouldn't openly admit, well, that, you know, they're bisexual, that they're sexually compatible with a man or sexually compatible with a woman.
So you think that's why people can adjust to one and then a little later adjust to another?
Either that, or again, speculating, it could be because of economic reasons.
They need a man to take care of them?
Financially.
Mm-hmm. In the 50s, if women ever did that, went back to being straight, or went to being straight, I don't know whether they had come from being straight, but what would their friends have to say? What would the people in the crowd have to say about it? Anything?
I can't really remember anything specific.
Nobody, ever would they feel like it was just one of those things, and you sort of took your chances?
Well, speaking for myself, I would wonder why. You know, how could a woman be comfortable with a man if she was a lesbian? And that's before I started thinking about, like I was just saying, about bisexuality.
About bisexuality. Mm-hmm. So it was something that maybe you just didn't understand. It was always such a question about how a woman who had been a lesbian for years, let's say.
Right. Of course, I've never been a man hater.
Uh-huh.
If you talk to some of the lesbians who really do not like men, period. Mm-hmm. And hate is a strong word, but I guess that would be the best way to describe it.
Yeah.
Since I was never a man hater, I probably just wouldn't think too much about it, as long as it didn't bother me and it wasn't affecting my life.
Even if it was somebody that you were relatively close to?
Since that never happened,
it's difficult
to
mm-hmm.
say. Mm-hmm. Although, however, answering that, see, here I go, getting down to the bottom of the brain here, which has been used a few years. The first woman that I was in love with lived with her husband, off and on. He had a mistress, I guess you'd say, and he lived there most of the time. But he would come home, and he accepted her lesbian friends. So obviously it didn't bother me, because I went with Pauline for over a year, who had a husband.
Did you think about what she was? Is this woman gay? Is this woman straight? Did you think about that?
No. Because I liked her for herself.
Right, so it was just not an issue that was...
The only thing that bothered me is that he would like to have three ways.
Mm-hmm.
Which I wouldn't participate in.
Yeah.
That's what he'd come home for once in a while.
Yeah, I know about that. I ran into a couple like that.
In fact, during the 50s, this is one of the things that you encountered. Couples would come into the gay bars and try to persuade a lesbian to go home with her. Again, going back to Pat's Mardi Gras days, this is when things were more, and a lot of straight people came into the bar. and the guy's trying to pick up women. You can't put it any other way. They come out and say, you know, I want to eat pussy.
Mm-hmm. Did any of the lesbians go with?
Yeah. I can't recall specifically, but I do remember some.
For fun? For money?
I don't know, because I never asked.
Uh-huh. What'd you think of those women that went? The lesbians that went?
I thought they were crazy, because I couldn't see taking part in something like that.
Did you think about why they would do that?
No, since it didn't affect me, I didn't. In those days, I didn't really go with that. I didn't become that analytical, so to speak.
Okay. You know, it's interesting because we're doing these interviews where we expect people to think in depth about stuff that they might not have thought that way about at all.
Yeah, see, I probably was more liberal. I had a live and let live attitude as long as it didn't affect my life.
Yeah.
In fact, I probably didn't think too much about anything. It was too much, you know, party time. Let's have a good time. Who gives it?
I see. The issue of prostitution and its connection to the lesbian community, I think, is very interesting because it's sort of this foggy kind of borderline area where things overlap, where you get an overlapping of people living kind of in two worlds. And for some people, that they seem to do it very comfortably and easily. For others, it was much harder.
I remember a thought that just went through my mind was when I knew of some lesbians who were prostitutes, I used to tell them, I said, I'd be a prostitute because that'd be an easy way to make money. But the way my luck runs, the first time I'd go out with a guy, I'd end up with VD or pregnant.
Probably. You probably would.
And as we're talking, I never even thought about the two prostitutes I went to bed with, whether they had VD or not. Of course, we weren't as conscious or herpes and AIDS.
Yeah.
And
right, you thought of yourself as, I couldn't do it because I'd probably get some.
But you go to bed with somebody who's doing it, who might have gotten something, and
thank
God I didn't.
Yeah, it's interesting. We sort of compartmentalize our thoughts when it's convenient, you know?
Right, right. Now think about it now, right?
Yeah.
Well, I remember I used to make a joke about it. All right, that's an easy way to make money, but...
I think we probably have... I can't think of any more. If I think of any more questions about prostitution, I'll ask you. But there was another question that we had that I thought we didn't particularly finish covering with all of our narrators, and that is the difference in the kinds of crowds that hung out at the different bars in the 50s. In particular, the carousel. The carousel that was on Ellicott.
Yes, I'm very familiar with it.
Yeah. Would you be able to characterize we have kind of a group of women we call the carousel crowd, you know, as we have a group of women we call the Bingos crowd and the Chesterfield Mardi Gras crowd. That's true. A lot of women did, but that we've talked about is the carousel crowd. Do you know what I mean when
yes,
I say
I do.
That?
And I remember when you mentioned something during the last oral history project, I think, in relationship to that.
Yeah.
What only thing I can think of is that in the carousel, you did not get out of line, because once you were barred, you were barred. You did, you know, they were very, I guess, you could say that selective of who could stay. In other words, if you were a troublemaker and, you know, during the days there was a lot of fighting, bar fighting, a person was put out, they were put out forever.
Uh-huh.
So I guess you could almost say that if you wanted to put bars into classes, Beecher, no, you're not in a class. That's the dog I'm talking to. But that would probably be considered your, you know, your middle class, your upper class, whatever.
Uh-huh. I wonder,
in other words, your behavior had to be a certain way. However, yeah. Remember when we were allowed to dance in the back room?
Women.
Right.
Uh-huh. Could men dance in the back room?
No.
Could men dance anywhere?
No.
Okay. No. I want you to think, I'm going to use your bathroom. I want you to think while I'm out about the differences in the way people looked in the carousel, clothing, and, you know, how would the carousel crowd look different from the people who might go to bingos, or, and also, would the carousel people, the people who were regulars at the carousel, go to bingos and the Mardi Gras and the Chesterfield also, like you would go, you know, to all these places.
Okay.
There we go. Great. Now, you, during that time period, what bar would you have said might have been your kind of home base bar? Was there one?
I probably went to the Carousel quite a bit. However, bar hopping was a big thing, at least with myself and some of the people I know.
So would you characterize yourself, as I just said, as one of the Carousel crowd?
Yeah.
Okay.
Also, you know, one of the things I thought about, too, when I heard the last presentation, I was probably one of the few lesbians that went to men's bars quite a bit, where lesbians were not always welcome.
Yeah.
And it's because I had, my best friends in those days were gay men. At least I said I didn't trust the women, because we didn't use the term lesbian in that day. That I trusted gay men.
What term did you use?
I really can't remember.
Like
we didn't use dyke, you know, not total lesbian. We didn't use lesbian.
The terms that I...
We didn't even use women.
Right. The term that I recall people talking about is gay girls or gay kids.
Gay girls. That was it.
Gay girls?
Yeah, gay girls.
Yeah. That seems to be the most common for that time. Also, to refer to the whole crowd as the gay kids. No matter how old you were.
Right.
You were still part of the gay kids.
Like when I went to all bars.
Mm-hmm.
Like there was Johnny 68 in the Oasis, which were on Genesee Street, which were men's bars. Mm-hmm. I would go there, you know, once in a while because some of the guys that I hung around with went to these bars.
Mm-hmm.
And one of my best friends tended bar at the Oasis. And they were not on, yeah, right,
uh-huh.
Because they were men's bars.
Uh-huh.
They were distinctly men's bars, just like Pat's was a woman's bar.
Okay.
I mean, not Pat's, pardon me, Bingo's. Bingo's.
Bingo's is truly a woman's bar.
Right.
Mm-hmm. What was your favorite bar then?
Probably I vacillated between Bingo's and the Carousel.
Mm-hmm.
Bingo's was a good daytime bar, if you went out during the day.
Oh.
Used to go there.
Mm-hmm.
And Carousel was a place he used to go after work sometimes. This is where he ran into a lot of people. He'd stop for a few drinks. In fact, mentioning the work, I think probably your working class people went to the Carousel. People who were into professions.
Uh-huh.
That's why I say kind of, you want to call it, put bars into classes. It was probably considered the upper or middle class or whatever.
But you were
talking about the way people dressed.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
I'm talking about, I guess, more professional people went to the Carousel.
I see.
Which wouldn't go to, like, the Mardi Gras, Bingo's,
mm-hmm.
Dugan's, which
right.
was mixed.
Yeah. If you would call the Carousel people kind of middle class or professional, what would you call the group of people that would go to the Mardi Gras?
Carefree, party type, didn't take life serious.
We have a problem discussing that group of women because we don't have a name for them. What we have been using...
I would say rebel.
Rebels.
You're
the second person who used the word rebel. That's interesting. We have
more
been
rebellious.
Using the term street dykes. Now, and we say in our writing that is not the term that people call themselves, that it's a term we use.
Right, because that terminology was not used in those days.
Right. People didn't call themselves dykes.
Even lesbians are uncomfortable with lesbian today on the term dyke.
Rebels. That's interesting. What about
rebellious.
Uh-huh.
This was the era of This was the group that got the tattoos on their hands? The little star? Did you get one? Are you? They tried to talk me into it, and I said, no.
I didn't get mine in the 50s, though. I got mine in the 70s.
That started with Randy and R. I can't think of who else. I think Renee Elaine.
Uh-huh. Yeah, I know she's got one.
In fact, I see a couple of people from that era today that are still living the same way they were living then. Drinking is number one in their life. And don't look at them cross-eyed because you're going to be in deep shit.
Uh-huh.
And that's a people like Andy, Andy Lane. Of the older crowd that still goes out a lot.
Yeah.
There's still a carryover.
How do you feel about that?
Well, since I know them and I was able to relate to them years ago, I don't have any problems with them.
Uh-huh.
It still bothers me, because most people have mellowed out, you know, since the rebellious days,
the
day of being a rebel.
I see.
In fact, you know, another term that might fit Mardi Gras, Leonard's, you know, that era,
because
nonconformists. They weren't, you know, even, I think, in the days of when the gay liberation movement wasn't, quote-unquote, visible, knowledgeable, that the women of those days were really nonconformist to the gay and lesbian community of that day. There were certain, I think, standards back at the Carousel.
You had
to live up to certain standards to be able to go in there.
I see. So that's something distinctive about the Carousel, is that you had to live up to certain standards. What were those standards?
A, no fighting. You had to, immature word, behave yourself.
To behave yourself, okay.
Proper behavior.
Uh-huh.
According to set the standards set by the owner.
Uh-huh.
Followed through by the bartenders. And if somebody didn't like you for some reason or another, you were out. And if you were out, you're out. With the exception of myself. I got put out once, but I
got back in.
Yeah.
How'd you get back in?
I just went in and apologized.
To whom?
The owner and the bartender. But it took a while before I was able to back in.
Uh-huh.
What had happened, my mother and Gordy, my ex-lover, and I were in the bar. When we were getting ready to leave, it was closing time, and some gay man said something derogatory to me. My mother got mad. We all got in a fight.
So
I was out. But anyhow, because I had always gone there,
uh-huh.
I was always accepted. An exception was made. But if I had stepped out of line one more time, I'd never get back in.
Yeah.
So I guess this is basically what I'm saying, is that there were certain standards, and you had to live up to these standards.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of the people that went, because to the other bars that we were talking about, Mardi Gras, Dugan's, Leonard's, Bingo's, couldn't live up to, you know, the standards.
I see.
Behavior-wise.
Yeah.
It was kind of like an unwritten law.
Yeah. Was there, as well as the standards for behavior, were there things like dress standards? Do you have to...
No, because this friend of mine, Phil, that I told you that dressed like a man, lived as a man,
uh-huh.
went there all the time.
I see. So on an evening out, let's say it's a Saturday evening or a Friday evening, and you're out at the Mardi or at the Carousel with... you're looking for a girlfriend. You don't have a girlfriend. What are you wearing?
I was never that unfortunate.
Okay. You're out with a new girlfriend then.
How about if I went out with a girlfriend and every once in a while we would decide to blow people's minds? Because, you know, back to the label of being butch.
Uh-huh.
Say, let's dress up tonight. We did this on a couple of Friday nights. High heels.
Both of you?
Right.
Okay.
Dressed up, I guess you would say, you know, all prissy and fluffed up.
Uh-huh.
Just to blow people's minds.
because you had those clothes in those days, because, you know, slacks were not popular.
I see.
And, you know, you had to go certain places and uh-huh. dress a certain way.
So sometimes you'd both get all femmed out.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. Mm-hmm. I particularly got a big charge out of it because I wanted to blow people's minds. You don't blow them away.
Right. Did other people do that too?
No, not too many.
Uh-huh. Yeah. But on a regular evening, when it was not, you know, for that kind of fun, but you were just out with your lover, what would you be wearing?
Okay, back into those days, as we went over the pictures, you said, you know, I see you're heavier there, etc. And I told you how I vacillated with my weight all my life. I always wore men's clothes, and I used the excuse that it was because I couldn't get women's tops to fit me, you know, like shirts,
uh-huh.
but what I and men's slacks. But what I always did, though, I wore the type I wore were. Be hard to tell whether it was a men's shirt or not, you know, color-wise, pattern-wise, no shirt and tie,
uh-huh.
but you know, shirt type thing. In fact, I was known in the late 50s that as soon as it got warm out at all, I always wore Bermuda shorts.
Uh-huh. To the bar?
Yeah, well, everywhere, except for them.
Uh-huh. I think I remember you like that.
Yeah. Used to always wear Bermuda shorts.
Right.
I was always, again, I was basically a non-conformist.
Uh-huh.
I did things.
So most of the women who went to the bars then didn't wear shorts?
No.
What would they wear?
Usually men's pants and shirts. And that's, of course, like I said, it was a day we used bro cream instead of hairspray.
Right.
With the DA haircuts,
yeah.
All slicked down and greased down in the 50s.
Would you wear fly front pants?
Yes.
Uh-huh.
In fact, even as a teenager,
I remember
blue jeans came in style. My mother said to me, if you buy another pair of blue jeans, I'm going to burn them.
Uh-huh.
I was always more comfortable in pants.
Yeah. Would you wear blue jeans to the carousel?
Yeah. Yeah. I never remember them ever restricting how anybody had to dress.
I think one or two people who went to the carousel told us that they wore chinos. Those seemed to be the popular pants at that time.
I don't really remember.
Chinos.
Oh, I probably didn't wear them because of the army, I'd had enough khaki.
Oh.
I can tell you right now, I wouldn't have went into anything khaki.
So you would have worn jeans or, in warm weather, Bermuda shorts?
Right. Or a slack, you know, fly front men's pants.
Men's slacks, uh-huh.
I even had my mother convinced that I couldn't get women's pajamas to fit me, that at Christmas time she gave me men's pajamas.
Uh-huh, how clever. What kind of shoes and socks did you wear?
God. Oh, I remember one of the things that I wore, which is very popular now, the desert boots.
Oh, yeah.
I started that fad. You know, I saw a few people pick up on that because I used to wear them in the wintertime.
Uh-huh, uh-huh. Yeah, those were nice. Those were nice. I love desert boots. And white socks or colored socks? Or
God, no.
Those kind of go in and out of style, you know, colors of socks. Now white socks are in again. They used to be
I remember I had a black and red buffalo plaid wool shirt that I wore to death in the wintertime.
Yeah.
I don't remember what kind of shoes I wore. Whatever was in style. Uh-huh. I didn't buy wear men's shoes, if that's what you're searching for.
Well, just, you know, no. Were loafers popular? Were, I think in the early 70s, Beetle boots were popular. Remember those?
Madeline. 30 how many years ago? I don't remember.
This is stretching it.
Yeah, this is really... I wore field boots in the army.
Because mm-hmm, mm-hmm. you had to.
No, I loved them. They were called the Labners.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
I really can't recall. I remember when I was, this was during the carousel days, when I was a counselor for emotionally disturbed boys, and I had to wear skirts to work.
Uh-huh.
So I had to wear nylons.
Oh, yeah.
And a girdle, which used to kill me. But I still wore men's tops.
Men's shirts, button right. left over right.
Right. Uh-huh. But I would pick colors that weren't real obvious.
Yeah. And for outerwear?
You mean like coats?
Coats, jackets.
Well, like I told you, the buffalo plaid, black and red shirt, I wore that to death, I remember.
Uh-huh.
Until I wore it out.
Yeah.
One of the things that I really liked was my... I think I get a picture right there, I'm not sure. But my army raincoat.
Your trench coat?
Right.
That's great looking, yeah.
Oh, like I had that dyed black.
Oh.
And I wore that until I wore it out.
Uh-huh.
Because it was really comfortable.
Oh, yeah. Isn't nice. They last forever.
I know, going back to those days, talking about dressing. I worked for a telephone company for a very short time after I got out of the army. And I had to take a bus to work. And of course, I wore slacks under my skirt. And at the telephone company, they told me that I could not come to work with slacks, and I took them off when
uh-huh.
I got to work. But they said this was not allowed. And I said, well, I'm not standing on a bus corner and freezing to death. I guess subconsciously, I wanted to wear my slacks. Back in grammar school, we had a track and field day. You were allowed to wear slacks at school. And it was postponed because of rain. This goes back to being lesbian and not knowing it, and how you're like dressing more like with men's clothes. I went to school with slacks on because that day we were allowed to wear them. The teacher told me I had to go home and take them off, and I said, no, I won't. All right, so she let me stay. She said, if you wear slacks tomorrow, you're going to cloakroom. I went to school every day with slacks on. And I'd sit out in the cloakroom.
Spend a lot of time in the cloakroom.
Yeah, well, I did it on purpose. I didn't want to sit in the classroom. I'd rather be in a cloakroom. Besides, it was, I guess, back to being a rebel. It should click off.
Yeah, I know. Let's see how much tape we've got. We're doing all right. We're getting close to the end.
So I've always worn slacks. Wherever I could get away with it. I guess you would say that technically I came across with a masculine appearance.
Uh-huh.
That's what you...
And most of the women who were considered butch at the time wore approximately what you did
yes.
to the carousel.
Although I think I was more of a colorful dresser. I didn't wear the drab type colors.
Uh-huh.
I went more for color.
I see. And they were more drab or conservative. Uh-huh. What about
the... Of course,
the
t-shirt was always underneath.
Oh, you always wear a t-shirt?
Yeah, that butches wore t-shirts underneath their shirts.
Now, we know that the butches wore t-shirts to places like the Bingo's and, the and Chesterfield and Mardi Gras. We didn't know that they wore them to the carousel, too.
If you wore t-shirts, you wore t-shirts wherever you went.
So it didn't, that class difference, that middle class or working class or whatever, didn't matter with regard to t-shirts. Everybody wore them, which is
right.
just...
I don't ever remember a dress code on the carousel.
Yeah.
I said back to standards were set behavior-wise within with the establishment, and whether you were accepted or not.
Uh-huh. But still, butches wore t-shirts.
Yes.
That was just across the board.
Mm-hmm. Right.
What about femmes? What would the femmes wear to the carousel?
Well, the one that I went with... wore dresses most of the time. Skirts, dresses.
Uh-huh. Now,
like, as I recall, most of the times did. And I may be wrong, but that's what I recall.
Yeah, and this is middle to late 50s.
Mm-hmm.
Uh-huh.
I'm talking 53, 54.
Uh-huh. Did they continue on into the late 50s? Did slacks ever become... more prevalent?
I can't
prevalent.
Really remember,
mm-hmm.
due to the fact that I wore slacks.
Yeah.
That's really hard for me to answer.
Mm-hmm.
And back to the big thing about being butch, I never really gave it a thought. That's why I come off with my little quip about the Nellie Butch aggressive femme.
Yeah.
I never really felt labeled, but I was very obviously into the role.
Right.
Because my lover did the housework, did the cooking.
Yeah.
She worked also.
Mm-hmm. Well, sometimes that's not real conscious. It's
mm-hmm.
just sort of second nature to lots of people. Mm-hmm. But it's still very much there. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
part of who we are.
Well, I think it's back to what we were talking about earlier. I think in any relationship, even when you get into non-gay relationships of men and women, somebody is stronger than the other. You know, one person's stronger than the other, one takes the lead.
You mean personality?
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
I don't know if I've mentioned this to you. Another thing that people used to say, you butcher thumb, I says, well, whatever you want me to be, as long as I can lead when it comes to dancing.
Uh-huh. Well, you know, I know some very strong femmes. I mean, I'm a very strong femme. But still, I know that I'm a femme. There's no question in my
right.
mind about that.
Well, same with myself. You know, I don't consider myself a feminine or femme.
Right, you're not.
No. If I did, I'd be full of me and myself and the whole world. Right?
Yeah. But so what do you do? What do you do with a strong femme? What if you have a femme that has a strong personality? Does that make her less femme? Is that more difficult for a butch? What do you do with it?
Well, I think that depends upon the individuals. Because in any relationship, you've got to be able to communicate. And I think back in those days, we didn't even know what the word communicate was. We didn't try to think about sitting down and talking things over.
Uh-huh.
I didn't know what it was.
So what would you do if you ran into a femme that you